Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Happy New Year! Greetings and salutations, friends. How are you? We made it to 2022. I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. This is the Sheeman and Shepherd Show on ESPN Southwest Florida, on a myriad of stations across Southwest Florida, the Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network. You can also listen on our app. It is free. Put us on your phone. Download the app at ESPN Southwest Florida. Our website, ESPNSWFL.com. You can listen there. You can go back in time. You can go back into 2021, for example, and listen to shows we did or segments you may have missed. Follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line are the same, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Lots to catch up on. Haven't been together in about a week and a half. We'll get caught up on our holidays. We lost some people, John Madden and Dan Reeves. Betty White, for crying out loud. Everybody was going. AB, yes, we will get into that. In fact, Chris Myers was broadcasting the game on Fox. He will join us at 5:30 to give us his insights to what he saw. Lots to do. We'll cap up our Pickapalooza 2.0 from before. We've got our first edition of Wikipedia. We've got a college football playoff championship game all set. Lots to do. Pete, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, boys. Great to be back. Walked into the building today. Drove into the parking lot where there was nobody.
I was a little concerned.
I had come to the front door. So I park on the side where most of the salespeople park, because on the other side where programming is, there's too much bird poop and crap and rats and some stuff, and sometimes it come out. So I'm a gentleman. I park my car in front of the and I was like, then I see on the door, for the mail people, it's the company holiday. Blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
I was like, did we miss something? And then, lo and behold, I come in here. The whole place, all the lights are off, except for this part of the building where our studios are.
Or, in other words, a Friday.
Yeah. Very good. Touché. And lo and behold, Chris is sitting there like he's a hobbit in the other room, and it's about 90 degrees in his studio. His hair's very poofy. And it turns out we're the only three people in the building, I think, right now.
I did the same thing. I drove. Now, my wife is off today, so I know a lot of companies carried over the weekend holiday into today. So I come in, I'm like, what? Where are all the cars? And then I swing. There's even fewer in the back. I come in. The hallway lights are out. And I'm like, I'm holding my breath to see if you're here, because I know you always get here before I do. Yeah. I was like, did I come in on a day I wasn't supposed to? I was going to be ticked. Chris, what the hell happened? Did we get screwed out of a holiday?
So, yes.
Well, welcome to 2022. Isn't it fitting?
What the hell happened?
This is like an edition of Wikipedia, except the holiday screwdriver.
When we put our holiday schedule together, we all sat down and put our holiday schedule together. It never crossed my mind that there would have to be an observation of January 1 for the company holiday schedule.
Okay.
Didn't cross my mind until yesterday. I am playing golf with the GM of the building. He's asking what my plans are for tomorrow. I looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm going to be into work at about 9:15 for our 9:30 meeting. And he's like, dude, we don't have work tomorrow. It's a company holiday. At that point, I thought about texting you two, but then I thought, like, you know what? We've already committed to coming into work today.
Yeah.
It is a big day in the sports
Huge.
World.
I'm glad we're
There's
here.
There's a ton to talk about.
Yeah.
And now we bank two, you know, you work a holiday, you get 2 days off somewhere else along the line.
Are we getting a 2-for-1 on this deal?
I believe that's the way that holidays work. Wow. I'm gonna
check with management. You are management. Check with them. Wow.
But no, I thought to myself, it's probably a good thing that we're back on the 3rd instead of having to react to a football weekend on a Tuesday and it just being kind of a weird start to the week. So now we just hit the ground running.
You're right. It's a big day, number one. Number two, I think we ran promo for 10 days and hey, we'll be back on the 3rd. So here we are.
I would have been disappointed. We had a nice vacation, great Christmas, and nice, awesome New Year's. I actually can remember mine.
Oh, really?
Still had an awesome.
That's good.
Great time. But now I'm happy we're here today because there's just so much going on. It would have lost a little flavor if we didn't hit on all these stories that came in tomorrow.
Sure. You want to go AB? You want to go John Madden?
Well, let's go. Why don't we go Chris first and get that out of the way? Because if I start getting into AB and everything else, it's all of a sudden it's going to be we're going to set a record. It'll be 2:45, and we haven't done the rundown yet.
Good point.
Make that a New Year's. Can we try to make it a New Year's resolution? The only one to try to get every single rundown for the year. Let's keep track before 10 past the hour.
10 past is our limit?
10 past.
You know, it's New Year's resolution season. I was going to throw out 8 past.
Okay. Let's do 8 past.
All right. Shoot for the stars, land on the moon, that sort of thing.
Well, it's already 6 past.
As I was saying, that gives me 2 more minutes to talk about my diet. Have you noticed how fat I am? I'm not even wearing a belt today. I had 9 days, no working out, eating and drinking. I didn't even get on a scale. I was afraid.
Wait till we do drink totals. I don't even know. That's not even fair.
It's just a guessing game at this point.
All right. Well, let's do this. And by the way, if you are out there listening and texting and calling, we'd love to hear from you and hear how your holiday went as well. 239-337-ESPN. At almost 7 minutes past the hour, it's time for our first SportsCenter rundown of the year. Here's Chris.
Bruce Arians spoke with reporters today, said Antonio Brown did not indicate he was injured before walking off the field yesterday against the Jets. BA went on to say that he cares about AB and hopes that he is okay in the long run. NFL clinching scenarios yesterday. The Bengals win the AFC North. The Titans win the AFC South. The Packers clinch the top seed in the NFC after their win over Minnesota. And really, all but one team is set in the NFC playoff picture. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, Arizona, Dallas, Philly, with either New Orleans or San Fran being the final team in.
All right, let's set the table with AB.
Yeah, let's get it. Okay, so
first of all, the Jets are pounding the Bucks at this point, right?
They're up, but did you really think they were going to lose that game?
I had my doubts.
I didn't.
I had my doubts.
I didn't. It's called Jet football. When you run 4th and 2 into the heart of the Buccaneers defense,
I agree.
That's the Jets right there.
Sure, absolutely.
But anyway, besides all that, and then Brady throwing passing winning touchdowns to people nobody ever heard of, which is unbelievable in itself. But let's start with AB.
So we're third quarter,
right? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right.
And everybody knows what happened by now. We all know what happened. Everybody has seen the video a gazillion times from a gazillion angles. So, from the fan perspective, let me give you the two sides. This is the one side, the emotional side of everybody, is how many more chances is this guy going to get? Are we going to keep using mental health issue as an excuse, or is this guy just a bad guy overall and we keep making excuses for him? He's been enabled his whole life. Along those lines, I think a lot of people are pissed off. They feel let down. I've said it from the beginning when he was with the Patriots a few years ago, and I said this guy ultimately will let you down. He has been given chance after chance after chance. Tom Brady stood out on an island for him, went out of his way. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
You get the fake COVID thing, which I'm sure he's not the only one that came up with the fake COVID vaccination card and all that stuff. Yada, yada, yada. So there's the pissed off fan side of me and others that I totally get it. On the other hand, and this is kind of where I'm at right now, and if this was 25 years ago, I'd probably feel a lot different. But, and we talked about this with the Raiders. Actually, with the Steelers, I'm going to go through the timeline since 2018 of December of the 16 little events, or some major events that have happened. But the fact of the matter is, is this guy needs help, which we keep saying year after year after year. He really needs help. And he, the hardest thing is he has got to admit to himself that he needs help. How many times, Craig, Chris, we've been talking about this for several years now. The people that he's around, whatever family he has left, whatever friends he has left, coaches, whatever it is, I don't know what it's going to take, but this guy needs help. And he needs to first admit it to himself, which I know is the hardest thing for most people that have mental health issues. So until that happens, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do anymore. The guy absolutely needs help. There is something wrong. You heard now there's conflicting stories today. Did Arians actually throw him off the team during the play because AB said he was hurt in his ankle and didn't want to go back in? Now I'm reading reports over the last half hour that was not true at all. We don't know exactly.
Did you see him dancing in the end zone? His ankle was not hurt on his way out.
I saw him running routes and catching three balls, I think, for 26 yards before. So I'm not. For me personally, I'm not buying the ankle injury. I don't know exactly what was said. All I know is this man needs help. We've been saying it for 3 years, almost it seems, every few months. I don't know what it's going to take. After we break it down, the other interesting thing to point out here, he is going to be officially released today probably about 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. which means he's going to clear waivers. If he does, mm-hmm. he will become a free agent. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? And I know people right now are saying that he's never going to play football again. He will be a free agent in less than 2 hours. Mm-hmm. What if the Packers come a-calling or Kansas City and says, you know what, AB, we're going to make a playoff run. Come join us. Don't be shocked if something like that does not happen, because it'll probably be for whatever minimal money. Remember, he's given up over a bunch of incentives, $1 million incentives on. He needed like 8 more catches to get the incentive money. But I will not be surprised if he clears waivers and some contending team that is in the playoffs will pick him up and take a chance. It would not shock me one bit. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd be stunned. And I say this respectfully.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't think we'll see him. He'll play. I don't think like a Packers right now. They are on cruise control, and they're going to put that knucklehead in the locker room. I don't think so.
And it's low risk, high reward possibility. Can the guy get it together for another 3 or 4 weeks? No, I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying it. But yeah. I'm saying the way the situation that Snare can pan out, nothing would surprise me anymore. Nothing.
Let me jump in, and I know you're right. Most of our audience knows exactly what happened. I saw the text from Maryland Mike. There's always a percentage of people that don't know everything. They've been busy over the weekend or whatever. So AB quit on a team in the third quarter yesterday, threw his jersey and his equipment into the stands, cut across the Jets end zone and
during
the
game.
Fans during the game and left. It just quit. There was a Bills player that retired at halftime once upon a time. This was way more spectacular than that. During the game, arms raised in the air, shirtless, and walking right out.
A policeman, one of the couple of stray, a policeman came on the field and thought he was a fan. And then AB apparently, reportedly, asked the policeman, did you hear this? Asked the policeman for a ride to the airport while he was, half-dressed at the end zone. And the policeman said, what are you, crazy? You're not even dressed? And he goes, you don't even have a wallet on you.
Right.
So then he apparently went into the locker room, got dressed, and got a ride to the airport. Still don't know exactly the conversation, what happened. There's conflicting stories. There's one recently out. The most recent one is that Bruce Arians told reporters a little while ago that it's pretty obvious what happened. He left the field, and that was it. We had a conversation, and he left the field.
Mike Evans tried to calm him down before everything went to hell.
Yeah, he refused to get into details. Bruce Arians did, other than to say that Brown didn't say he was injured. That's according to Bruce Arians. Yeah. Other reports today, Ian Rappaport, among others, said that he had told Bruce Arians that his ankle hurt. He didn't want to go back in. That was the first report. So I really don't know what to believe. There's conflicting stories out there. The one thing to me that is absolutely true, I've never seen anything like that in my life, except a teammate of mine in Little League did that. And that's the only time I have ever seen that in my life. And the bottom line is this man, somebody has got to get him to admit that he needs help. He needs help. And I don't know how often we could say it. How many times in the last 5 years, 4 years, whatever, 4.5 years we're going to say it.
Well,
I don't know if he has the family and friends. Like I said earlier, I don't care if you got to club him over the head. I don't care if you got to take a handkerchief of chloroform and knock him out and get him into some sort of facility. They got to figure out. He's got to figure out that he's got to get some professional
help.
Each
and every day, my respect for how Mike Tomlin handled him goes up and up behind the scenes, because you know he was dealing with some of this stuff. Look, before the ankle injury or not injury story came out, the leading theory yesterday was he was upset he wasn't going to his incentives for another $1 million. And there were three of them out there. 8 more catches for another 333,000, 55 more yards for 333,000, and 1 more touchdown for 333,000. He absolutely could have hit that, maybe even the second half. I had a theory.
Yes.
May I drop it on
you?
Yes,
I love theories.
Now, you know, as well as I do, that some players don't know all the rules. I'll use Donovan McNabb as an example. He did not know that an NFL game could end in a tie until one did, that he was playing in, which, question mark, how hard he was trying at the end of overtime. Could it be possibly that Antonio Brown was sitting there in the second half looking at his numbers going, huh, I'm not going to hit my numbers today. Is it possible he thinks that this was game 16 and the season was over yet? Did he know that there was a 17th game for the first time ever this year? Is it possible? He's not the smartest guy out there. Is it possible, Pete Shepard?
I had not considered that at all.
He thought it was over.
I like it. I like that theory. I really do. That's a great theory by you. Hey, it's as good as any other. And again, yesterday, you know, he was targeted 5 times. He had 3 catches for 26 yards. So, you know, it's probably a good chance. If he wasn't going to get it yesterday, he's going to get it against Carolina. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. That was the thought I had. Just what a spectacular flame out. And you're right. The guy needs help. That was Tom Brady's only comment that I saw yesterday. Hey, be a little bit sympathetic. You don't know what, you know.
I think he was trying to do his best he can to be very classy about it, not throw him under the bus. Deep down, he has to be livid.
Yeah.
Livid. I stuck my neck out for you.
Twice.
You know, this was like
with the Patriots, too.
This was like Norman Dale, sticking out for Shooter Platt, you know, the alcoholic coach who came, Dennis Hopper's character.
Yeah.
I stuck my neck out for you. You know, to get yourself into a rehab place and dry out, but something's wrong here, and I don't know how you get there. Let me go through the timeline a little bit just so people in case you forgot. Starting with December of 2018, this is the last 3 calendar years. Okay, 2018 December, deactivated. People forget this one. Deactivated for the Steelers, Week 17. Game after he threw a ball at a teammate in practice. I forget who he threw it at. Might have been Le'Veon. Was it Le'Veon? Was it?
And I believe the Steelers had to win that game to get into the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
Yes. February of 2019, meets with Steelers owner Art Rooney II, says both sides agree to move on. March of 2019, traded by the Steelers to the Raiders for a 3rd and 5th round picks. Then, fast forward to July of 2019, placed on the non-football injury list. This was the frostbite from the cryotherapy place in France that we still have never heard from the doctor or found out really exactly what happened. That to me is, I have to find that out.
Yeah, right. Right. You're still looking.
Still looking. August 2019, 1 month after, missed Raiders training camp practices due to, remember this? Helmet grievances.
Yeah, I wanted the new helmet, right?
Then September 7th, also 2019, released from the Raiders after Instagram post asking for his release.
Jeez.
September 9th, 2019, 2 days later, signs a 1-year deal worth up to $15 million with the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
September 10th through the 16th, 2019, former trainer Brittany Taylor accuses AB of sexual assault while Sports Illustrated article reported second incident of sexual misconduct.
Uh-huh.
After having a nice game against the Miami Dolphins, where I think he caught their first 5 passes for the Patriots, September 20th, 2019, released by the Patriots. January 22nd, 2020, AB charged with felony burglary with battery and two misdemeanors for incident with moving truck company. Pleaded no contest and did not receive jail time. Then, 9 days later, July 31st, 2020, AB suspended 8 games for multiple violations of NFL's personal conduct policy. Mm-hmm. Then he took a month off in September. October 27th of 2020, the Browns signed him, AB signs a 1-year contract with Tampa Bay. February 7, 2021, he catches 5 passes, including a touchdown as the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl. May 25th, 2021, he re-signs with the Bucs. And December 2nd of 2021, suspended 3 games for violating the COVID-19 protocols of the league. The league and players union found that Brown was among 3 players who misrepresented their vaccination statuses. And January 2nd, 2022, you saw yesterday, takes his equipment off and runs off the field during the Jets-Bucks. Coach Bruce Arians says he is no longer a Buck. Buccaneers were 15-3, including playoffs, when Brown was in the lineup, including winning the last 14 in which he played and all 7 this season.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking as you're going through this list, a GM would be crazy to bring him in. And, you know, just much like there wasn't a market for Cam Newton except for the Patriots, there wasn't a market for AB except I think maybe Seattle. I think Pete Carroll was kicking the tires on it. And obviously, they're not going to pick him up. I think AB's played his last game, sadly, for his career.
You're probably right. I'm saying in this day and age and the way so many teams are desperate to win a Super Bowl, it wouldn't shock me. I'd be surprised. I think it's like 80-20 against, but it just would not shock me if he clears waivers and a contending team.
You know,
it'd
be more like a 7 seed. I doubt somebody on cruise control with a 1 seed or a really good team would do it. Like if the Raiders get in Sunday night.
That's
a
bad example. That's a bad example. I was thinking 7 seed.
No, because the team I think where it makes the most sense on the field is the Patriots. But he's spurned that organization. Yeah. He's spurned the Raiders. Like, yeah. There's only so many teams left on the list that don't have a bad taste in their mouth from the dude.
Yep. It's
over.
It probably is. I'm saying it is going to be interesting to see what happens. And you know, I'm not counting on it, but I'm just saying the way the sports world is nowadays, nothing's going to surprise me. Nothing.
Flesh-eating bacteria said, Pete, did you remember to add to the list the throwing of the candy wieners?
That's another thing that's in there. Yes, right. with the baby's mom and the baby in the car.
Yeah.
The children in the car.
Yeah,
the cab or the ride, wherever they were going.
Yeah. All right, your thoughts on AB, first and foremost, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. When we come back, still want to go over our Pigskin Pickapalooza 2.0. We'll talk about John Madden and his passing, what was it, 3 days after the airing of All Madden on Christmas Day?
Which was phenomenal.
It was weird, sad. But we'll talk about him as well and what he meant to football. So we're just warming up here on a Monday, a holiday Monday, apparently. We weren't supposed to be here, but we are with bells on. It was too big of a day to not be here anyway. So we're glad we're here. The College Football National Championship is Monday night, a week from tonight. We'll carry it here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Georgia versus Bama, presented by Backstreet Sports Bar in Cape Coral and Diamonds by Diane. And yes, 2 more semifinal blowouts in the college football playoff.
You ad-libbed that.
It's written right here. cannot get 4 decent teams. No need for expansion.
Look,
brought to you by Backstreet Sports Bar in Cape Coral and Diamonds by Diane. It says it right here.
There is need for, if for nothing else, Craig, regardless of how you feel about everything, don't you just want more college football during the year?
I've already got it. There's still going to be games played on these days.
No, I want more.
There isn't more.
There is.
Okay.
There's so much more. Regardless, it just adds to the ambiance of the love of the game.
The ambiance. I had to stay awake during New Year's Eve during the Michigan-Georgia game.
Cha-ching.
Okay.
Amongst boys.
We'll get to it in due time. That's why we have a 4-hour show. Sheeman Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Happy New Year to you. It's the Sheeman and Shepard Show, first one of 2022.
So I was out in an establishment yesterday watching football, and this place was full of a lot of New England fans, a lot of Tampa fans, a lot of Miami fans, and a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans. So I know, take this to heart. At least the Bearcats played Alabama, in my opinion, a hell of a lot tougher than Georgia did, or than Michigan did with Georgia. I think we can all come to an accord that they certainly played them a lot tougher. But congratulations to the Bengals. And I know it's to win that division and the way they did it and what happened yesterday was just absolutely unbelievable. Kansas City blowing 3 two-touchdown leads twice in the first half. Yeah. And then to see Joey Burrow for 446 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Jamar Chase, 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. One of the most spectacular 1-2 combination I've seen in for that. It was off the chart sick. I didn't agree with how the coaching went down at the end. I thought it was stupid, because all of a sudden you don't want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. But whatever, it worked out. The Bengals win the division. Who would have thunk it? So Bearcat fans, I know, tough loss to Alabama. But, hey, your Bengals are one of the top 4 seeds in the postseason.
It's pretty good. I mean, I think for a 2-week period, Joe Burrow's thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the history. Did I see that right yesterday?
I think
900 some yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been on fire. Kudos to me because I told my daughter to bench Kyler Murray and insert Joe Burrow into her semifinal fantasy football.
She must have won.
I think still players to be active tonight. I don't know. I got to find out. But yeah, good move there. We got our pigskin pick-a-palooza before we left. And so Chris went 9-8. Pete, good job. You went 10-7. Yeah. I went 8-9. Chris, I've got a one game discrepancy with the coin. I just want to double check. I have it with one more win, which is important because you're neck and neck. You're chasing the coin. Just a game or two separates you two. I got the coin at 10-7 this weekend. Just want to double check. You had them at 9-8. So
9. Okay, so I believe I found the problem on your sheet. What did you have the coin for the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game?
Pittsburgh-Kansas City. Hold on.
We had to reflip that game.
We reflipped it?
I made a note that we reflipped that game, yes.
All right. Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Where the hell is this?
I think it would have been like the fourth to last game we did. Kansas City minus 10.
Kansas City minus 10. Why am I not finding this? Hold on.
Because it was an add-on.
No, you're
not.
No.
No, that's right.
All
it wasn't the
add-ons
add-on.
Were the the Saturday games that I forgot to put on.
I threw my sheet
that's
out.
That's right. Oh, Steelers-Chiefs? Is that what the...
Yes.
I had the coin, had the Steelers, and I do have an asterisk next spot for some reason.
That was the reflip. Okay, you want to run down it and get it straight?
So you're saying you're right and I'm wrong? And then therefore the board is right?
Well, I'm just saying, do you want to run down it?
No, if you're telling me, if you guys agree, I'll not fight you. I just want to make sure it's right.
Just check your coins.
Okay.
Here's what I have for the coin.
Yes.
UCF.
Yes.
Oregon.
Right.
Pitt.
Right.
Bama.
Yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Oak State.
Yep.
Utah!
Yes.
Baylor.
Yes.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Cleveland.
Yes.
Arizona.
Yep.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Rams.
Yep.
Steelers.
Yep.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Pats.
Yeah.
Dolphins.
Okay. But if we both had Steelers, then that's 10-7.
6, 7, 8, 9.
No, it's not.
Hold on.
The losses are Oregon.
Yes.
Pitt.
Yes.
Michigan.
Yes.
Arizona.
Yes.
Baltimore.
Yes.
Rams.
No, Rams is a win. Rams.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it was.
Rams won that game. And they covered.
Hold on.
Yeah, the Rams covered.
Yeah. See, this is 2 NFL weekends ago. Okay. That's what I'm trying to remember.
Right. Yeah.
So the coin went 10-7.
Yes. So I will make the adjustments on the board. Our best bets, I got right. Alabama 7.5 first half against Cincy. Pete got Oak State versus Notre Dame right. And Chris missed on Washington football team and
Carolina, was it?
No, it was Dallas, and this is a stupid segment, and we will not be doing it anymore.
What's a stupid segment?
The best bet segment.
Why?
It's dumb. It's stupid.
Why?
What's wrong with it?
Because you're 5-11?
I'm dominating the dojo.
It's because it's 5-11. You're not dumb. You're by a game.
Okay, so coin is now 73-70-2.
That is correct.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm two games back.
All right. Yes. With some more
by the way, as usual, Notre Dame, although they showed up for one half, as usual, when they don't play, other bowl games they play in, when it's not a playoff game, they get obliterated. They didn't get obliterated in this one, but Oklahoma State won and covered a huge comeback in the second, 23-7, the dominant second. And the best bowl game, that was a really good game. And the Rose Bowl was excellent. Ohio State-Utah, that was a fantastic football game.
Utah! Came up a bit short.
Best game of the bowl season.
About 1.5, and I had Ohio State -2.5, so I was very
it bothered me.
I was very happy.
It bothered me.
I paid
me
the extra juice at -140, and it panned
Utah
out.
Plus the 4. And
that's good for you.
Yeah.
Given my dislike for Ohio State, we decided to have dinner in the fourth quarter outside, so I was away from the TV, and all of a sudden I come back, I see Ohio State kick a game-winning field goal. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a great game.
Yeah.
Great game.
Didn't mean anything, though. Didn't mean anything.
Okay.
Let me lead into that.
It could have.
So the preamble to all that, first thing in the morning, Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
They're talking about, woe is me, back in my day, these games don't seem to mean anything. The ones that aren't the playoff games don't mean anything.
Players
these
don't
kids,
love football.
They don't want to play. They don't love the game. Football.
I thought they were a little. Some of the stuff I agree with. Some of the stuff I thought they were.
You know where he's dead wrong?
They're a little.
Look at Matt Corral. That injury, not as severe as we thought, just a sprained ankle. But, I mean, a guy that's going into the NFL draft. Look, I support a player. If he doesn't want to play in a non-playoff game because of that very reason, I'm okay with it. I don't think Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard need to go poo-pooing on those guys for that.
I don't either. And especially when they defend Lincoln Riley the week before, 2 weeks before, and they defended a lot of the coaches who left. So I was a little surprised. Some of the stuff I understand. But don't tell me that those guys don't love to play football. I don't agree with that. I mean, you're always probably going to get some of that from some players on every team. But I think the majority of those players love to play the game. They're there for a reason. I mean, they're the best college football players in the world.
There's a love for football, and then there's a business decision, and those are two different things.
Yes.
I don't know why they had that show on Saturday morning.
That early too.
It was like why take the time to just go on air and bash people? They didn't cover anything,
and it's like 6 hours before kickoff on a cold morning in Pasadena.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was an empty stadium. Nah.
Yeah,
I thought it was a little odd because I like those two very much, and I agree with a lot of things that they say during the year. But when you have them defending coaches all the time and not defending players, they're a little taken aback by it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. All right. So here we a week from tonight, we got the national championship. Alabama, Georgia, stop me if you've heard this before. We saw it 4 weeks ago.
It's going to be fantastic. And the two teams that I picked, once again.
It's going to be the exact same score.
No, it's not. It will not be the exact same score. Certainly Alabama as a slight underdog at 3. It's really a pick game, but, Alabama, a slight underdog. I mean, it's going to be a great game. I got to stick with the Bulls. Nothing's going to surprise me who wins. I got to stick with Georgia. I picked them at the beginning of the season. I'm going to stand by it against Alabama. I think it'll be a much different type of game. I think it goes right down to the wire. Right down to the wire. But hopefully with COVID won't sit. Let's see what happens here. It's a week from tonight.
Well,
right?
There's no chance COVID's going to get Alabama. I tell you, and I'm sure all the teams did this, but Saban was the only one who got pressed for it. I mean, they left on the 26th, five, 6 days before the game last weekend. They checked into their hotel, and they didn't leave, with the exception of practice and that. It was lockdown. It was serious. We're here to win a title, and nobody's messing around. Nobody's going to any events. And nobody's going to do like UCLA and go out to SeaWorld and get sick and cancel the game 6 hours before kickoff or any of that nonsense.
Yeah, that was
a little rough.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Chip Kelly,
yeah.
His buyout, he's not out of the woods yet.
His buyout significantly drops in 13 days. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out at UCLA. I know it'd be late for a coaching change because, you know, people
can't
are snapped
imagine
up.
Them doing that.
UCLA, I can, because it's UCLA. They
yeah,
don't
but
do anything.
You're not going to get anybody better.
I would tend to agree with you.
I don't know.
Just be leery of it.
Zippy, how about the elephant in the room? Did Cincinnati belong in the playoffs? Yeah, who's going to play them tougher? I mean,
Notre Dame.
I don't know Notre Dame is going to play them tougher.
You know, Oklahoma State, who had lost to Baylor. Yeah. Baylor.
I thought the second half of the season, Baylor was one of the best teams in the country.
Ohio State?
Well, I mean, look. I thought Baylor's defense was very good, but Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's defense was very good.
Credit to their defense. They played a really good game in that.
You know, they play them as tough as you can play them. I mean, Alabama is a great team. They're a great team with the Heisman Trophy quarterback. You know, I don't know that any of these other teams. You're going to put your stock in a Notre Dame. I dare say they would have lost by more than 21.
I'll tell you right now that I thought at the end of the first quarter, Alabama was going to run Cincinnati out of the building.
It looked like
Cincinnati was not going to change that 3-3-5 defense that they run. And Alabama just said, you couldn't stop us with 8 guys in the box. You think you can do it with 6?
Yeah.
And kudos to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I thought that they showed themselves very well. In that game.
17-6 at the end of the third quarter. And they were in the game.
They were. Now, 17-6, yes, they were technically in the game. It never felt like they were actually in the game.
I'm with you. Right. But I go by, okay, they're within two scores. Before the game started, I said, if they're within two scores in the fourth quarter, let's see what. I put shekels on Georgia. But
a freak play in that game, and Cincinnati is one possession away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give Cincinnati a ton of credit there. And Michigan, you know, great season.
But Cincinnati had not allowed, the way Cincinnati.
It was disappointing.
Alabama opened up with 10 straight runs. 10 straight runs. Cincinnati, I don't believe it, had given up a rushing touchdown in the opening drive.
Bill O'Brien was told, don't bleep this up. Just run it down their throat and don't be extra crazy. Just be conservative. Get us to the championship game.
Yeah. But it's 10 straight runs, and they were just that set a tone right there. The first 4-6 overall for 37 yards by Robinson, that's even before they put 3 receivers out there opposite of Gardner, who hadn't given up a touchdown in coverage in his college career. Yeah.
Now, I was glad Cincinnati was. I've been curious just as a sports fan all these years, dating back to Central Florida and all, whatever, however far you want to go. How would one of these schools do in a big boy game? And, you know.
They did a lot better than some of your other quote unquote blue bloods, I'll tell you that.
Well, and it was so cut and dry this year as well with the win over the 5th ranked Notre Dame team. Mm-hmm. It was just, there was very little argument. Apart from that, you had a 2-loss Ohio State team that didn't get to their conference championship. You had a 2-loss Baylor team that beat the 1-loss Oklahoma State in that championship game. Yes, it was just because Cincinnati didn't win doesn't mean that they didn't deserve the shot this year. They were the most deserving fourth most deserving team. Yeah. And in a year where you couldn't look at any other roster and go say definitively, that team's better than Cincinnati, do it this year.
And we always have blowouts in the semifinals, so there was nothing to be ashamed of. That's as business as usual.
No.
It just happens.
Now, to your point, Craig, about expansion being, you know, this is an argument against expansion.
Yes.
We would still have the good college football games that you get in the Rose Bowl. The difference would be it wouldn't be the Rose Bowl. It would be the quarterfinal number 3 or whatever it is. And you would still get those games, and you'd still get intriguing matchups. Maybe the destination's the same, but the trip might be a little bit more enjoyable.
I don't know. It's the SEC championship game. We're going to see these games no matter what. The more the merrier.
The more football, the better. Now, if you're looking at AP top 5 matchups between the same teams in a single season since the AP poll era in 1936, this year, obviously, Alabama-Georgia. Alabama won the first one by 17. We'll see what happens in the second one. 2020, Clemson-Notre Dame. Notre Dame won 47-40, and Clemson blew them out in the second time, 34-10. 2011, Alabama-LSU. We all remember this one. LSU won that thrower, 9-6, and then Alabama blanked them in the national championship game, 21-0. 1996, Florida-Florida State. FSU won the first one, 24-21. Florida blew them out in the second time, 52-20. And in 1959, Ole Miss over LSU. LSU won 7-3, and then Mississippi blanked them 21-0. It'll be the third national championship game, which both teams are from the same conference. So on Saban's side.
The other two have involved Alabama as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Bama LSU and then Bama Georgia.
Saban, he's 25-1 versus former assistants. A lone loss coming early in his career versus Jimbo Fisher. 9-2 all-time versus Georgia. Those two losses coming in 2004 while at LSU and 2007, his first season at Alabama. That's an 8-18 winning percentage, second best by any head coach against Georgia since the split in 1978. Urban Meyer went 5-1 versus Georgia in his career. He's 4-0. Versus Kirby Smart, with all four games coming in AP top five matchup that's tied for the most wins by one coach against another AP top five. Mm-hmm. Bobby Bowden, 4-2 against Steve Spurrier in those games. And despite being 0-4 versus his former boss, Smart's Georgia team has held the lead in each of those four meetings, as we know, with a double-digit lead in three of them, including the 2021 SEC Championship.
Hmm. All right, that game is a week from tonight. Yep. We'll have it here on ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm watching more video of AB going nuts yesterday. We'll hear some of that from Sound Street. That's coming up next. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
About you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, the story of the day yesterday continues to be AB disappearing in the middle of the game for the Buccaneers, and that's the end of his, well, maybe his career. Here it is, yesterday on Fox.
Yeah, guys, very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign. I'll let you know when we hear something official on his status.
Thank you, Jen. It may be an Antonio Brown out in Tampa Bay. At some point, enough is enough.
That was Chris Myers at the end. He will be joining us live at 5:30 today and get his insights now that he's had a day to digest what he saw.
And it's too bad because the story of the game should have been the comeback the Buccaneers made. And Cyril Grayson, the second-year kid out of LSU, might become a household name in the next few weeks because he's going to be one of those guys without AB, without Godwin there. He's going to be after one of those guys that sets it up along with Johnson.
All right, here's Bruce Arians. AB has been cut.
Can you tell us what happened to Antonio Brown? Did he quit? I've never seen a guy leave a field like that, and is this the last strike for him?
He is no longer a Buck. All right, that's the end of the story. Let's talk about the guys that went out there and won the game.
There you go. Short and sweet. Here's Tom Brady. He's worried about AB. Again, we pointed out time and time again, Brady has stuck up for AB and gotten him his last two jobs in the NFL, and he says he needs help.
Obviously, a difficult situation, and I think we all want, him to just think everybody should find, hopefully do what they can to help him in ways that he really needs it. And, we all love him. We care about him deeply. We want to see him be at his best, and unfortunately won't be with our team, but we have a lot of friendships that will last. And again, I think the most important thing about football are the relationships with your friends and your teammates, and they go beyond the field. And I think everyone should be very compassionate and empathetic toward some very difficult things that are happening.
I don't know what else is left to get this guy to admit, meeting AB, to get some help. Like I said, half tongue-in-cheek here, knocking him over the head and dragging him to some sort of facility because, you have your teammates, you've had Bruce, everybody stuck up for you. I don't know what family and friends, like real, real close family and real, real close friends, if he even has any, he has left. I'd hate to see a disastrous situation as bad as this is. I mean, you could see a path. I don't know how you get the guy to admit that he needs help. And I don't know how he has people around him to convince him besides dragging him, somehow kidnapping him into a facility. I don't know how you do it.
So Ben Attitude Guy texts again. How come the story of the day is AB leaving in the middle of the game and not the Dolphins' ability to play leaving in the middle of the game? We haven't scratched that yet. as they had a very disappointing day yesterday, losing to the Titans 34-3 as the Titans clinched the AFC South. Here's Tua. And by the way, Tua, 18 of 38. The rumors, Deshaun Watson starting all over again. Tua doesn't care that this loss wakes up his critics again.
Tua, there are going to be a lot of people questioning right now if you are the quarterback who could put the Dolphins over the hump and take them to the playoffs. Why are people wrong to doubt you moving forward?
Well, I think people have their own opinions. I've heard this the entire time I've been here. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I can control what I can control, you know, and that's to be the best version of myself for this team. I mean, we got to move on to the next game at this point. You know, we'll look at the mistakes that we've made, make some corrections, and move on.
I was a little surprised in Flores in the way this game plan was. It was a crappy day. They threw the ball more than they ran the ball. Tua also missed a couple of, and I was watching all the games at once, and he missed a couple of easy throws, like 5-yard passes. He missed about a few of them that I was really surprised at. But the running, the play calling in that game, I was a little surprised to try to run the ball a little bit more, especially in that weather. But
they did try, and they.
Chris leaned on a button.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They did
no,
try.
No, that was my computer went off accidentally. Oh. But no, it's frustrating because after two seasons now, you don't know because the offensive line is bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an unavoidable
no question.
Fact.
No question about it. No question about it.
But, and I've been pretty steadfast on this for about 10 weeks now, if you can improve that position, you go out and improve that position. And maybe Tua proves somewhere else that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you don't owe it to Tua if you're the Miami Dolphins organization. You owe it to yourselves to get the best player at each position available. And when you're going into an offseason where Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and maybe Aaron Rodgers are going to be available on the market, you go out, you move heaven and earth to get that guy in your building. They are better than Tua. It is an unavoidable fact right now. They are better than Tua. Tua was not good enough yesterday. And you didn't even mention the fumbled snap.
Well, that.
Didn't even mention it.
Well,
and
I didn't get to it yet.
That's atrocious. You cannot make that mistake in the NFL. And it's the same story with this darn team. If the defense doesn't show up, there is no shot in hell of them walking away with the W. No shot. And it's been that way for 5 years now.
Yeah,
letting Ryan Tannehill, the guy that you traded away for a fifth-round draft pick, beat you like that? Embarrassing.
Like a drop.
And he only threw 18 times also.
It was embarrassing. Yeah. It was embarrassing.
Foreman rushed for 132 yards, but it got embarrassing in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's still a two-score game. It's 17-3 after the third quarter.
But there was no movement on the offense.
You're right.
There was nothing on the offensive side of the ball. Still, we're sitting here 3 years later. Still. No movement on the offensive front. The Tua's not making any plays. He's doing fine when he's got a clean pocket and he's got a nice slant to throw. But go look at the stats. 10 to 20 yards, he's the third most inaccurate quarterback in all of football. Mm. Yeah, he's fine 20 yards downfield.
He's fine, yeah.
But 10 yards and closer, he's fine.
Cocoa Puff says AB and Deshaun going to be lit in Miami next year. But that still doesn't address the offensive line.
Miami was leading the NFL in 45 sacks, four shy of the franchise record they set 16, 17 years ago, but they didn't get to Tannehill until the third quarter.
I might sound upset. I kind of knew that this was coming, having to beat the Titans and the Patriots to win your, ninth and tenth game in a row to simply get to the postseason.
Yeah.
It was a tall order. It was a tall ask for that team. But like I said a while ago, that is not the game that cost the Miami Dolphins a playoff spot. The games that cost the Miami Dolphins a playoff spot are losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Yeah.
And Tua didn't play well enough in either one of those football
games.
Even
the Jaguars would have made this week's game obviously more relevant.
You're at least in it.
The teams that were eliminated yesterday.
You know?
Miami eliminated Cleveland, Denver, Jacksonville,
Texas. It's not a one-game sample with the Dolphins either. Go back to that Monday night game. Yeah, they win the game, 20 20-3, 23-3, whatever it was.
Against
but that offense didn't look good against the Saints as well.
All right, our first hour of the year, we're late already. All right, so we'll come back. We have plenty more sound. Yeah, and if you want to sound off on Tua and the Dolphins, feel free. Talk a lot about AB as well. 239-337-ESPN. We'll bounce around with some more sound from around the NFL from Week 17. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.